Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needleworkers. The list of things coming up. Tonight, Krista West is our guest on the Fiber Talk Stitch Hour. So we get to, this is the second time she's been a guest, because she's so much fun to talk to, I wanted to talk to her again. So we get to, she's got a bunch of new things coming up, and we'll have giveaways of some of her designs. But then also, going to impose on her to talk to us about vestments and show us some stuff and show us some of the detail, because that work she does is amazing. So
yeah,
coming up there. And then Friday night, Deb DeCrane is going to join us, and she's in between level 8 and 9, working both of those, I think, if I understand correctly, of Japanese embroidery. And I think I mentioned a couple times, I have the photos of the work she's done, and yeah, that's going to be fun.
It's a level of technique that I admire.
Yeah, exactly. You just admire it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this stuff just blows me away. Every time I see it, you never see it done poorly.
Oh, no. Because you don't pass the level if it's done poorly.
Right. That's thrown away.
Yeah. No, and that's a start over.
Yeah. So, so anyway, that's going to be fun to talk to Deb and see that. I've interviewed one or two teachers that do Japanese embroidery, but I don't know that I've talked to a stitcher, because I'm curious about it. That's a mindset, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, and it's a mindset that appeals to me. So, so that's Friday night. Both of those, 8 o'clock. And then Sunday, our podcast is Anna Scott, amazing embroiderer. And if you get Inspirations Magazine, you've seen her work more than once. Terrific from Australia. Terrific conversation with Anna. So she'll be our podcast on Sunday. And then Dawn to Dusk, we're starting that stitch along on the 9th. And Beth Ellicott and I think are going to do a live show to start that one. And this Sunday on the 19th, 2 o'clock Eastern, Debbie will be back, so Kim, Debbie, and I are going to do a live show to get us started on the Royal Garden. Yes, live instruction from Debbie.
I'm looking forward to it.
No pressure from Debbie, or on Debbie, but live instruction from Debbie. So if you're going to do the Royal Garden, you definitely want to join us Sunday, 2 o'clock on the YouTube channel. And even if you're not, and you're interested in chartered canvas needlepoint or doing it, showing up probably will pay off. You'll probably pick up a tip or two as we work our way through things, without a doubt. So worth your while. So it isn't just Royal Garden stitchers, but I'd drop in if I were you. Probably learn something. And
I'll have to wear makeup, huh?
Up to you. Debbie, it won't faze me either way.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's strictly up to you. That's in your head. I couldn't care less, you know. I'm interested in what you're showing us.
People run screaming from their monitors, so.
But I do ask that you have a manicure done.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, obviously.
No, you do it in your sweatpants and T-shirt for all I care. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the stitching. So I wanted to talk about today what it is people who are doing, and there's a large number of people doing the stitch along with us.
Right.
So I wanted to talk about what you do and maybe a little bit about what I do to prepare for a new project. And this would apply in many ways to just about any project, but particularly for those people who are doing the Royal Garden, in terms of getting ready for an event like that, where we're going to start stitching this thing. So, what kinds of things should people do to get ready?
The first thing is that they need to get their canvas ready to stitch on, and so I believe that Kim, when she was sending out canvases, I think that she indicated to me that she was going to try to tape the edges of the canvas. But if you have a canvas and the edges of the canvas are
let me interrupt you. For those who don't know, Kim is Kim Young, Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I always assume people know, and I don't think that's right.
the edges of the canvas need to be taped before you mount them to your stretcher bars and things like that. And the reason for that is we're using a lot of somewhat tender threads like silk lame braid and neon rays and things like that. And they will catch on the edges of your canvas if you're not uber, uber, super duper careful and pay attention all the time. So if you just tape the edges of your canvas, that way your threads cannot snag on the edges of your canvas. They could still wrap around your tacks, but they won't snag on the edges of the canvas.
And so, you know, I will say something to that. I never used to tape my canvas.
Yeah.
I always cut it so that it was smaller than the stretcher bars, because I told myself that if that's the case, then it won't snag. Right. And it was one of your designs I was working on some time ago that my practice failed miserably.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of one of those threads, and I had done a considerable amount of the stitch and had to tear it all out and throw it away because it snagged and ruined it.
Yeah.
And from then on, artist tape on the edges. Yeah.
Yes. And artist tape, you can buy artist tape at Michael's, or I haven't checked Hobby Lobby, but I'm pretty sure Hobby Lobby has it. Joann's may have it. If there's an art supply store, they for sure will have it. And you need the 3/4 inch or the one inch. And what you do is you lay the edge of the tape along the edge of the canvas and then fold the tape over the edge of the canvas so that you've enclosed the edges of the canvas with your tape.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then mash it down really good. Now, because this is not a very super sticky tape, and so you do need to make sure that it adheres well to itself and to the edges of the canvas. I've had people ask if masking tape is okay.
No,
masking tape is
no.
Gary, masking tape is okay. If that's okay. All they have access to, masking tape is okay. Ugh. It doesn't stick very well. But when you consider that, you know, the three canvas strands that it covers will be cut away for finishing, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't
okay.
matter.
I hate that goo it leaves behind, though.
But see, it's going to be cut away for finishing, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
If the idea of tape really disturbs you, you can enclose the edges with seam binding and just serge it on your sewing machine or serger. You know, do a zigzag stitch over it, and it'll stay in place. Again, it's going to be cut away, so, you know, don't stress over it, but do get the edges of the canvas covered. Another thing
some people now see, I will always disagree with you because the last time I used masking tape, it was a long time, and I came back to it and the masking tape itself had dried out and that goo was left behind. And so that turned me off. So that's why I say no, absolutely not. But if you're going to stitch it and cut it off in, you know, fairly relatively short of time, year, whatever. Yeah, it's probably fine.
I'm wanting to make it as easy as possible for people who may not have access to any of the big box craft stores.
Right. One that comes up, every time this comes up, somebody asks about painter's tape. That seems safe.
Painter's tape is not very high tech.
Right.
And so, you know, if you can keep it on the edges of the canvas long enough to get tacks through it and put it on the canvas, it'll probably be okay. But because it's very low tack and it may not adhere well until you get it secured to the canvas, painter's tape is fine.
Yeah, and that's the experience I had the one time I tried it was like, will you stay stuck so I can get the thing mounted? Just give me that 5 minutes, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't recommend just serging the edge of the canvas like you would with fabric, because canvas is a much looser weave, and I can't see that sticking unless you use, you know, serge over binding tape, seam binding or something like that.
Yeah, and that's overkill. I mean, at some point, just get some tape. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people though that is the step that they take, and they even match the seam binding to the stitching that they're going to be doing. I mean, they have to have the right color. Everybody gets to do however they want to do it. I just don't take that step.
Well, tip of the cap for that kind of coordination. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, they have to have their needle binder has to match. Their project bag has to match. I mean, that's fine if that's how they want to do their hobby. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, and that's that whole concept of the stitch bag, the project bag and everything. I mean, to me, I mean, that doesn't work for me because I just have a weird view of things. But a lot of people have as much fun doing that as they do the stitching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they get to do it, they get to do their hobby however they want to do their
Yep.
hobby.
Yep. And some of
And
those
I'm not going to say
project
that's
bag.
right, that's wrong, that's a waste of time. I'm not going to say any of that.
Right.
Do what gives you pleasure and makes you happy.
And some of those stitching bags and all, they're beautiful. I mean, that
Oh gosh,
a lot
yes.
of fun. Yeah. So
I'm just as apt to use a Ziploc bag as I am
me.
anything else for a stitching bag. So
Yep. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So okay, so we got to tape it. So however you tape it or edge it, you want those sharp edges of the canvas covered up.
right. Okay, and now you need to mount your canvas to your stretcher bars. And I don't recommend a scroll rod system for canvas work because a lot of the stitches that we're doing, the canvas needs to be as tight as you can make it to support the kinds of stitches that we're doing. And I have never once been successful using scroll rods. The canvas is just way too loose and
Yep.
floppy.
Same here.
So,
But let's talk about stretcher bars before you get to mounting it. Tell me what you use.
I use Evertights.
Okay. Yes.
I have an obscene collection of Evertights. Probably enough to outfit, a good 10, 20 stitchers.
Yeah, I'm sure over time. Yeah. And that's the thing. That question comes up. I've had that more than once. If I buy stretcher bars, can I reuse them? You can
Absolutely.
reuse them for almost forever till the wood just starts
Absolutely.
coming out in chunks. Yeah.
And even then, I've had some times where the lap joints splintered in my suitcase or something, and Rod slapped some wood glue on them and a clamp, and away we went
You
again.
go.
So.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a relatively inexpensive investment that'll be with you a long time. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You can reuse the tacks. I like just the little brass tacks. They're easy for me to push in. I know some people like the larger silver colored, I think they're called quilter's tacks. I don't care for those, but I mean, if that's what you like, then that's fine. But the important thing is to use enough.
Right. Well, okay, back to the stretcher bars though. So there's nothing wrong with conventional stretcher bars, just regular.
Absolutely nothing wrong with them.
Those work just fine. They're
They work
inexpensive.
great.
Yep. I do
And I
like.
don't,
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't recommend investing in Evertights or something more expensive until you know that you're going to like doing counter canvas work.
Yes.
And when you know that you like it, yes, invest in a nice stretcher bar system like the Evertights or the ones that you've been using. Use
Yeah.
those. I can't remember the name of them, but
Adjust a frame, yeah.
adjust a frame. When you know that you like counter canvas work and you're going to do more than one project, yes, invest in nicer stretcher bars because you will have much less. They're so forgiving as far as how you mount the canvas because you don't have to pull the canvas that tightly as you're mounting it. You still want to get it straight and tight as you can by hand. But then any little adjust, you can make the adjustment to make that thing so tight that it's well worth it.
It's amazing how tight you can get it. It really
It's
is.
amazing. And you want the canvas tight because as you pull the needle up and down through the canvas, you don't want the canvas to move on you because then you're having to fight the canvas and it's just it sets up fatigue and your stitches don't lay as nicely. And then when you pull it off of the can off of the stretcher bars for finishing, the stitches may not lay as nicely as you thought they were. And so, yeah.
Yeah. If you use conventional, just regular stretcher bars,
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the Curtie Biggs trick, which is to go to the hardware store and get a little right angle metal pieces. The best I can describe them is they're pieces like you would put on a window if you wanted to strengthen up and square up the corners. They're just flat pieces of 90-degree metal, and the ones I get have four screws. They have four holes and four screws. And learn this from Curdy. You take those and just put one on each on opposite corners. So square up your stretcher bars and then put one on opposite corners. You don't need all four corners. And you can just screw them in. The wood's soft enough you don't need to drill holes. You can just screw them in with a screwdriver, and that will keep your stretcher bars square. That has worked really well for me until I went to Evertites. But
yeah, I've never done that.
Yeah,
and I don't obsess over it.
Well, the reason I did it was I was traveling. It was one of your designs that I was traveling with, and in and out of suitcases and bags and stuff, and it had gotten itself out of alignment. And I didn't notice it. And then I started doing that with regular stretcher bars. And it just was a good, to me, it helped because it kept it square. So,
yeah. Hey, you know, here again, if you want to take that extra step, there's certainly no harm in it at all. And if it helps you to square up your frame and have a little bit more stability to it, that's great.
So then when you mount your canvas on the stretcher bars, whatever you use, then you're using tacks.
Right.
Not staples.
Right.
Yes. I'm not a fan of the staple thing.
I'm not. I know a lot of people who use them. If you've got a good staple gun and that's what you want to use, then fine. Just use enough of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel you can get them tighter with tacks, that you can get the canvas tighter.
To me, it's easier to remove a tack and replace it if you need to than staples.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if let's say your canvas gets loosened somehow, then it's no big deal at all to just remove a few tacks and pull the canvas again and then tack it back down. Not a big deal. I've done it before and it works great.
And for people who have trouble, say the tacks hurt their thumbs, hurt their fingers, there is a set of tools you can get.
Yes, Corjack.
What is it?
Corjack, Corjack.
Yeah.
And it's a little, it looks like a ball with a little rod on it that goes in the palm of your hand, and you can use the whole, your whole palm of your hand to push the tacks in. The end of the little rod is magnetized, so the tack sticks to it. And so you can use your whole hand instead of just your thumb to push the tacks in.
Yeah, and then there's a two-parter. So then the other one is a little fork thing that you can use to lift the tack out.
Exactly.
Rather than using those little blue things that come with the tacks, which...
blue or yellow or, you know, whatever color that they are. But, yeah, because those are just plastic and they do have a tendency to break if you use them repeatedly.
Right. So don't stay away from tacks if that is your issue, because there is a tool set that will take care of that for you.
Absolutely. You don't have to hammer them in. Stretcher bars, Evertites, and probably the adjuster frames are made of a softer wood that it's really easy to push the tacks into. You don't need a hammer or anything like that. I would not advise necessarily investing in a Corjack kit until you know for sure that you enjoy stitching County Canvas. But, you know, if you do, you're going to want one. I've got two because I lost one, bought another one, found the first one.
Seen that movie. Yep.
And, you know, I wouldn't mind having three because I stitch a lot of different places. But anyway, yeah.
Now, I learned from you about the number of tacks.
Yes.
Because I never used enough until I ran into you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You find using more tacks is helpful?
Are you kidding me? Difference making.
Okay.
Difference making. Absolutely. No, because you want them, what, every half inch or something? What's your kind of your guideline?
No more than a half inch. And sometimes, you know, if I'm doing a project that I know is going to be a super quick project, I'll put them about a half inch apart. But this is if it's small, like 10-inch bars. But for a larger project that I know I'm going to be working on for quite some time, I put the tacks as close together as I can get them. Yep. Not overlapping. You don't want them overlapping, but definitely touching each other.
Yeah, see, I don't go that far, but I I more than doubled the number of tacks I was using based on your advice, and could not believe, number one, how much tighter and consistent I got the tension across the canvas top and bottom, but how much better it stayed.
Yeah.
It was absolute difference making. And I felt like, geez, am I ever going to get all the tacks in? But it's worth it, you know?
Well, you know, and someone who was just starting out, when I was just starting out, putting in the tacks, you know, I was ready to stitch. I wanted to stitch.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Why am I doing this? But now I do it so quickly. It takes me about 5 minutes to tack in a 16-inch project, which is, you know, 5 minutes spent at the front end that pays off dividends in the long term.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait,
yeah, like dividends on top of dividends. I mean, it makes a difference, huge difference.
It does make a difference.
Yeah.
And when, you know, if you're new to Count Canvas and you are approaching mounting canvas for the first time, you don't start off by tacking the corners. You start off in the center of each side. And when, you know, I instruct my students in class, if I see that they're tentative about how to mount their canvas, I tell them, okay, north and south, place a tack in the center of the north and south and the center of the east and west. Then go back up to the north, place a tack on each side of the center tack, pull the canvas and put a tack on each side of the south tack, and then do the same thing on the east and west sides. And you move out from the center in an even way. You don't tack all of one side and then all of another side. You work it like that, and that allows you to stretch the canvas as you go a little bit easier.
Yeah, it seems tedious, and it's like you're forever turning the stretcher bars to get north and south and east and west, but you just keep going and work your way out, and you'll feel it. You'll feel it even out, and the tension will be even all the way across the time you get to the corners, and then you push on that canvas. And you'll feel it. It's a big difference. It's much, the tension is even across the way, up and down. Yeah.
Yep. And it really does make a difference in the stitching, because you're not pulling the canvas with the thread as you're stitching. The canvas is staying in place, nice and flat, nice and tight, and your needle slips in and out more easily.
Yep. And I think that's another benefit of taping, is when you're putting the tacks through the tape, I think they hold better.
They do. You know, there have been times when my tacks didn't make it into the edge of the tape, and that's fine. I didn't pull it out and do it again. You know, all of my tacks aren't lined up like little soldiers.
Well, now, Debbie, I put
There's
a ruler.
Lot of them,
I put a ruler down.
Like,
see, I put a ruler down, and
of course you do.
Draw a line. No, I don't. I don't do that at all. No. No, but yeah, no, I mean, I do. I think it helps if you put them in the tape, it helps hold. But yeah, I did it for a long time without putting them in the tape. And yeah.
Well, and then, you know, as you're taping the sides, if you're using conventional stretcher bars, put a tack through each corner. And to me, that seems to help with stability. I don't know if the tack is long enough to actually go through the lap joint or not, but it makes me feel better. Now, with Evertight, you don't put any tacks at the corners.
Right.
And I don't know about the adjuster frames, if you put tacks in the corners or not.
No, same thing. Can't, because then it won't, you can't expand them. Yeah.
Then you can't adjust it. Yeah. But yeah. And, you know, then now your canvas is all tacked up. It's ready to stitch. And so the next thing that you need to think about is assembling the rest of your materials. You need to have a laying tool. You absolutely must have a laying tool. Even if you've never used a laying tool before, you're going to have one with the neon rays and the stranded flosses and things like that.
Yeah. You can't do a lot of them, but certainly can't do yours without a laying tool. Absolutely have to have it. Yeah.
Really have to have a
laying tool. Yeah. And not for me, not just for laying. I use that laying tool. It's in my hand all the time, because I use it to help me control threads, keep things from slipping back, all kinds of things. It's to me, it's, and you have that thing you put on your thumb.
A trolley needle. Actually on my index finger, a trolley needle.
I mean, to me, having that, a laying tool of some kind in your hand all the time is, it's almost as important as the needle in terms of.
It takes a little bit to get accustomed to it.
Yeah.
maybe 5, 10 minutes. And then once you've stitched one project using a laying tool, you'll wonder, how did I ever stitch other things
Right.
without?
Right. Yeah. And you'll see the difference. It's not just an exercise in using a tool. You'll see the difference in your stitching.
You see the difference. You absolutely will see the difference. And so you need a laying tool. You need needles, the right size needles. And I recommend size 22 tapestry needles, not petites, because there will be weaving that takes place in this project where you have to slide the needle under previous stitches. And a petite needle is just more difficult to manipulate. So just regular size 22 tapestry needles.
Yep. Now, do you have another size that you use, or in this, particularly in this project, or are you able to do everything with 22s?
I do everything with 22s. I heard Susan Greening Davis one time, and you know, she doesn't do counted canvas work. She's a cross stitcher.
Right.
She said to use a size 22 needle, even on fabric.
Big honking needles for Susan. I know.
Big honking needles. And the reason why is the purpose of a needle. The purpose of a needle is to hold the thread securely, but not so tightly that it degrades the thread at the eye of the needle. And then to slightly open the holes in your ground so that the thread will pass through more easily without degrading. So a size 22 needle will do that on canvas. And I know a lot of canvas stitchers use a size 20. now, for I do have a size 18 needle in my stitching bag because I make my double fan doubles around that to control the tension as I'm getting the stitch started.
Right.
And a size 22 can slip through the holes in the canvas, but a size 18 won't.
Right.
You have to really yank on it to get it through.
You can insert and it sticks.
And it stays in place. And I prefer just a regular size 18 needle to a counting pin or something else, because a counting pin will usually have something on the head of it or something at the bottom of it to hold it in place, and it won't stay in the canvas the way this needle, size 18 needle will, and then you have to manipulate around the clasp at the bottom of it and the head at the top of it, and so, you know, just a needle is fine.
Yep. So now, all right, so those are tools, and then, of course, threads. Now, we don't cut all the threads. Like, if you're a cross stitcher, you tend to cut the threads all to one length and go.
Yes, no.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, because some of the threads, some of the stitches, you need a super long length of thread. And I don't know if I indicated thread lengths in Royal Garden or not. I'll have to go back and look back over my instructions before Sunday and see if I did or not.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Anyway,
yeah.
I don't recall, but don't pre-cut the threads. It's just not necessary, and you just don't need to do that. But that does bring up a point, and I always tell all of my students in my classes, you need some kind of a thread management system. By that I mean, I use Flossaway bags. Snack size zip top bags work just as well. So you don't have to go buy Flossaway bags if you don't want to. I don't write on the bags. I don't put any kind of indication on the bags. I just have one bag for each thread. And especially with the stranded threads, let's say I cut off a length and I use two strands. Well, then what do you do with the other four? Well, I stick them all in the same baggie with the skein. And that way I don't have to worry about labeling them or what color was this. I know it's all right there. And I don't put them on a ring. I don't do anything with that. I just stick them in a bag.
Yep. Yeah, because you'll have various lengths and left over depending on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to throw that away because it'll come in handy somewhere along the way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, yeah. So some kind of a thread management. I don't wind everything on bobbins. I just leave threads in the skein, card, reel, whatever, and pull them out and use them as I need them.
Yep. Now, but see, if it's DMC, I put it on bobbins because I just have all of it on bobbins. But then everything else goes in Flossaway bags. Mm-hmm. I've often wondered, why did I spend money on Floss Away bags? I could go to the grocery store and get snack bags. It's the same difference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. I've got probably 500 or so Floss Away bags that I've bought at various times. They're reusable. If you don't write on them, you can use them for whatever.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, the snack bag, it's the same bag. It probably comes off the same machine.
That's just the only thing is the Floss Away bags are a little bit smaller and they have a hole punched in them. So you can put them on a ring if you want to. And I never even bothered with putting them on a ring.
Nah. No.
They all go in the project bag and, you know, I can have them laying out on the table. It protects them. It keeps them from getting snagged up on each other. It works great.
Yep. Yeah, I don't. I don't put those on a ring either. My cross stitch stuff, silks and stuff, I put on a ring with thread drops. But that kind of stuff in a bag, and they're just in a bigger bag of some kind to keep them all together till I'm done with them. Yeah.
And you know, the bigger bag can be a gallon size zip top bag.
Right.
It does not have to be a fancy project bag or a mesh bag or you know anything. And I've got gallon size zip top bags that I have projects in. I mean, it's just.
Spend
money on thread. Don't spend the money on this other stuff.
Well, it's like just about all of my projects are covered. If I'm not working on them, they're covered with trash bags that we use in the kitchen for the kitchen basket. You know, they're big enough, cheap.
Yeah.
You know that it.
You know, pillowcases work too.
Yeah. Yeah, Costco, you know, come in a roll of 1,000 from Costco, and I just tear off a couple and put them over the top,
There you go. Yeah, that's all that's necessary.
Yep. Project bags look very cool and are much more attractive, but I just do a plastic bag over the top.
I've got dozens of those, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime you've stitched for a while, you accumulate these things.
Right.
And I've accumulated a fair number. And does that mean that I won't continue to buy them if I see something that catches my eye at a needlework store?
Yep.
Absolutely not. I'm still going to buy it.
Yep. Yep. All right. So one of the questions is where to start.
Okay. I think this one starts in the center.
Yes. Have to start this in the center. Yes.
Yeah.
But not always.
Not always. And the instructions of a County Canvas project should tell you where to start.
Right. And I think in this instance, and this isn't the only one of yours, and the only kind of canvas in general, if the designer says start in the center, regardless of where you normally start, upper left for me, start in the center. Mm-hmm. You're going to be happy.
Start in the center.
Just believe them.
Yeah, because the instructions will work out from there. You know, you need to have this stitch in place because you'll count from that stitch to do the next stitch, and they're going to share a hole with each other, and you have to do this stitch first before you do that one. I mean, follow the instructions. Even if you normally would start, I mean, like in my instructions, if you normally would start in the upper left-hand corner, you're going to have to find that place in the book.
Right. Yep.
Which is not on page one, and you might as well start on page one and work through.
Yes. And for like Royal Garden, it starts in the center, but you don't stitch the center double fan double first. You make a square of whatever stitch. I don't remember.
Smyrnas or Rhodes or something like that.
Something like that. Around. So, and for me, it was an excellent start because it allows you to get into the piece, get a sense of where it's going, and that square establishes the center area, and then where you're going to radiate out from as you work your way through the project. So that, because I helped somebody called me and asked if I would help her figure out how to get started. And so then I looked at the instructions and,
Why didn't she email me? I answer emails all the time.
She called me, Debbie.
Okay.
Don't take it personal. Don't get your feathers ruffled. I helped her.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. But, you know, that brings up a point. I know a lot of times stitchers don't want to email the designer. My email address is on the book for a reason.
Yep.
so that I can help you if you run into a problem or if something wasn't clear, so I can explain it. Or I've drawn new diagrams for people. I've done all kinds of things to help a stitcher be successful. So don't be afraid that you're bothering me. And I've got air quotes around the word bothering me. I wouldn't put my email on my book if I didn't want you to email me.
She called me for help, Debbie. I was happy to help her.
Okay. I'm just saying.
No, but that's, that point is why I felt we could have this as a stitch along, was even though if you look at it, it looks like a big complex piece, it one stitch at a time, but also I knew we would have Debbie's help all the way through. Anybody would have Debbie's help all the way through, in addition to excellent diagrams and instructions. So no one would be left hanging.
Right.
Yeah. If you get stuck, there's plenty of people to help you and get you
Absolutely.
Going again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And don't call me, call Debbie, because she gets all worked up about it and it's a big deal.
So just... no, my phone number isn't on the book. But my email address is. I had a stitcher who is on the East Coast one time, was up working early, and she called me. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah.
Ooh. That's not popular. No.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm not at my best in the morning.
Yeah. Well, and in fairness to this person, she did email me and I said, call, it'll be easier. So.
Yes.
Yeah. My phone number, not generally available either, but yeah, it was just easier to explain. But as I worked it through with her, I thought, go Debbie. That's, that really helps you get off on the right foot the way you started out by making the square a nice, simple stitch to do, and it establishes some boundaries so that you can easily work out.
Yes, and gives you the parameters for the double fan doubled, so you don't have to worry about the end points.
Right, right. So that, I was applauding you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it really, and this lady had, she was lost as to where to start, and then once we got her oriented, then I could just hear in her voice the lights were going on, and she was fine, and I haven't heard from her since. She was off and running. Yeah. But the other thing that I will point out, and she had not discovered this, when you get a book, go through the whole book. And with Debbie's books, at the back is a fold-out master chart diagram of the whole thing.
Yes.
And she had not noticed that, and I'm not saying her name so I can tell the stories, was a little bit embarrassed when I pointed that out to her. And I said, no.
Why?
It's a tool. Don't be embarrassed that you hadn't seen it. You just haven't gone through the book. And I said, any more for me, I just tear that out.
Yeah.
And I have that sitting off to the side because visually it helps keep me oriented as I work through your design. So to me, it's an incredibly valuable, even though you're having to have a folded over bound in thing, which is, added hassle putting the books together. It's a very valuable tool as you work your way through the project because you can see the whole thing. And then on the page that you're working on, you have the up close diagrams and instructions, but you can look over there and keep yourself oriented. And, so very valuable. And if you don't want to tear it out, copy it, but tear it out. It's just worth having out open, useful to me anyway.
Yeah. And, that's another thing I always tell people is indicate the top of your canvas somehow.
Oh, yes.
with a T or an arrow or write top right on the tape. Or if you haven't taped your edges, and why haven't you taped your edges, but just directly on the canvas, it's going to be cut away for finishing, but it will help you maintain your orientation as you stitch.
Yep. Yeah, that's important, cause especially with Conic Canvas. So many of them are just symmetrical, geometrical all the way around, and you really want to know where the top is. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you turn your canvas, you can always find your orientation again.
Right. So we're starting in the center. So how do you find the center? What is your technique?
Okay. On my Evertights, there is a center line on each bar. And I take a needle and I trace down the channel of the canvas that corresponds with that center line and stick a needle, vertically. And then I stick another one horizontally. And where those two lines meet is my center.
Well, now look at you. Now, I only have a couple sets of Evertights and I'd never noticed that they mark the center.
Yeah, there's a little line in the center of each bar.
Well, that's six kinds of neat.
Yep. Another way that you can do it is before you mount your canvas onto the stretcher bars on the back side of it, take a ruler or straight edge of some kind and just make a little diagonal line from the upper left and lower right corner, and you lay your straight edge along the upper right, lower left corner, make a little diagonal line, do the same thing on the other two corners. And where that little diagonal line meets is your center. That's another way to do it. Another way to do it is to measure the canvas. I think these are 16-inch canvas. Is it 16-inch or 18?
Sure. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
One of those.
You know, measure and find the center, top and bottom, left and right. That's your center. Now, don't do what I had a student in class, and I told them to, you know, we're going to start in the center. And I look over, and she has her needle, and she's counting canvas threads to find the exact center.
Ooh.
That is not necessary. An approximate center is fine because you've got 3 inches margin on every side of the design all the way around. That means that's 3 inches that, you know, if it's a little bit off center, it's not going to make that much difference. There's still plenty for framing and finishing and things like that.
Yep. And I see, now I take, people laugh at me, but I take 2 lengths of DMC thread that I don't care about, that I'll ever use the color, and make an X. I just thread them through and make an X and then find the center that way.
You know, that's fine.
Yeah. And then I tie a thread to that center cross. Do you mark it in some way, or what do you do?
I just stick a needle there.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, a big needle. And a lot of times what I do, if I want
to... Great big ol' awl right in the middle. Yeah,
if I want to mark the canvas in some way, and I do this on my videos all the time, is I pre-count so that I'm not counting while I'm doing the video. But I'll take my needle. And here's a good Oklahoma term for you. I kind of wallow it out a little bit to make a little bit of a hole.
Okay.
It's going to be covered up, but
yeah,
you know, usually it's going to be stitched over, but if it isn't, you can take your needle and kind of mush the canvas threads back into place as long as you don't break the canvas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's key. That's don't break the canvas. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
now I'm not a big one for basting or drawing or things like that. I find the approximate center and go.
Yeah. Yeah. So several ways to find the center, but you definitely need to find the center and start in the center. I was looking at that. If you started upper left where I normally start, I'm suggesting utter failure right out of the gate. That would not go well.
Well, and counted canvas is a little bit different from cross stitch in that, there is a lot of, you know, the motifs share holes with each other. Typically, you try to bring the needle up in an empty hole and go down in a shared hole. And most counted canvas is based on that.
Yep.
And so on some projects, if it's logical, the designer will start in the upper left corner. In other cases, they'll start in the upper right or lower right or the center. But usually the designer, the instructions will include where to start.
Yep. And follow it. Do it.
So that
gets us all the way to being ready to stitch. We found our starting spot. So that applies to everyone. Any project that you're going to start, all those things are worth noting and doing in one form or another. Now, for the people who are doing Royal Garden and are going to start on Sunday, is there anything else that they should do in preparation?
No.
No. Okay.
You know, find the master chart. Make sure that you are familiar with the master chart. And here's a little hint, because usually it's bound into the book on its side, where it says Royal Garden. That's the top of the master chart.
Yes.
And where it says copyright, that's the bottom.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, and copyright means something too, folks. Yes. Okay, so that gets everybody started. So, it wasn't just for the Royal Garden people, but that gives you a complete rundown of how to get started with any project. Yes. And it really can apply in many ways to other than how you, what you're mounting and so on and so forth, to really any needlework.
Those
basic steps. So, all right. So 2 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel, Sunday, July 19 is when we'll start the Royal Garden. So you should have all of that ready to go. Know your center spot, and then we'll be able to go from there. So,
If they want to go ahead and stitch the whatever stitch it is, I don't have the instructions in front of me. I'm not looking at them right now, but the Rhodes or the Smyrna or whatever, to stitch that center block that goes around the center. If you start with that, then you'll, when we start talking about the double fan doubled, you won't be freaked out.
Right. Right.
Cause you'll have a place to put it.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you, cause that was my plan. I was going to show up at the show with that square stitched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's straightforward stitching. The instructions are easy to follow, and it's just angled stitches all the way around, making boxes.
Yeah. Don't start that in the center. Find the center and count up to where, or down, or however, whichever one you want to start with. And I don't remember if the book tells you.
Yes, it tells you to count up. I believe it's up 16 and over 17, or up 17 and over 16, and then you start.
Okay, good. And that's where you start.
Yep.
Not right in the center, because then you'll be off-centered at the beginning. And some people are disturbed enough by that they have to rip everything out and start over again and put it in the center, which I'm never disturbed by that. I'm just like, oh, well, my framer can work around it, and I just keep going.
Yeah. No, it's very clear right in the instructions. You find that center spot, count up, count over, put your first stitch in, and go.
And we count threads, not holes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Threads, not holes. Yep. Right. So, okay, that gets everybody set up, and also gives people not doing it information on how to get a project going. Now,
absolutely,
we're going to run out of time, but I want to talk about, you got a new website. You're getting set up to do classes. So, and people.
There's a free County Canvas class on there.
Yes. So tell us about the website first. You complete overhaul of the website.
Yes. And, shout out to Rod, because he has worked every spare minute for the last 8 to 10 weeks getting this ready to go. Oh, thank God I married an IT guy. That's all I have to say. Because I wouldn't be able to afford to pay for it.
He has other positive traits, but at the moment, being an IT guy is big.
Yes. Okay, so one of the things that we've done is it's completely revamped. It has a completely different look. And so when you go to the site, you'll see that there are three windows or pictures, if you will. On the left is the blog, and I'm doing a stitch along on every Monday with the next parts released every Monday. So if you're interested in that, click there. The center one says video classes, and the project that's pictured on that is a free project. All you have to do is sign up for the class. Doesn't cost you a dime. And it starts, there are several lessons. Every step of this project has a video. Every single step. And it starts with mounting the canvas and preparing the edges of the canvas and, thread management and the tools that you'll need and how to use the tools and things like that. So that's called Square One, and it's free. And all you have to do is sign up for it. You're good to go. You can watch the videos whenever you want to and do the lessons and stitch along if you want to, or just look at the lessons. But it's all there. And then the third thing is charts. We are now selling charts directly from our website. And so that's our online shop.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And we're going to be adding a lot more of different kinds of things to the website as we go along. We're going to offer on-demand classes, which the whole project will be up there, and you can do it whenever you want to. We're also going to be doing classes that have weekly lessons that are released, and we're probably going to do, we're thinking 6 of those a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I still go and teach face-to-face. I'm still going to be doing cyber classes in other venues, but yeah. We're real proud of our website, and Rod's worked really, really hard on it.
Well, it looks great, and
thank you.
I mean, you had that other one forever, And
yes.
This one, it really functions very well, looks great, a whole bit. And then down at the bottom of that homepage, there's a little design you can get if you get yourself on Debbie's mailing list. And
yes.
Highly recommend that you get on the mailing list and then download that design, because it's a great little design to stitch. Really nice. So
thanks. Yeah,
so that's great.
You know, that's free. The square one chart is free. The stitch along that I'm doing on Mondays is free. And this is the third one. And you can go back and look at the previous blog posts and get the other two if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to your classes, are you going to be offering the ones that you've been traveling and teaching, or yes. new ones?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yeah, I don't have any new ones right at this moment.
What have you been doing, Debbie? Are you sitting around on your butt or what? Come on.
Well, I've got several things that'll be new for next year that, you know, will be released at ANG National and EGA National, because I'm teaching for both national seminars next year. God willing, we have them. And so, you know, those are all brand new projects and that no one has seen and that I think people will enjoy. And I've got other new things that I'll be working on. You know, I'm always developing new classes and proposing, and there will probably be some things that we do on our website that we haven't done anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. So pace people to get involved with your website and stay involved.
Get on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Get on the mailing list, because, you know, we make announcements. We don't sell the mailing list to anybody. I don't send you, 18 things every day. I'm on some mailing lists where I'm just like, oh, gosh, this is way too much. You know, it's about once every 2 to 3 weeks when I have something that I think is important enough to share, then I will send out an email.
Yep. So that's terrific. That's a huge, huge advancement for you all the way around. I mean, being videos, classes online, the whole bit, that's a pretty huge step. That's great.
Yep, we're really pleased with it. You know, I've been doing Debbie's Designs since 2003, and this is actually the third revamp of our website since I got started.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And this one could last for a while.
Every 8 to 9 years, you have to revamp. I mean, yep. That's just the way it is.
Yep. And this one could last for a while, yeah.
Well, we hope so. And we'll be continuing to add things to it. You know, huge step for us to be selling charts directly, because
yeah.
we've never done that. But anyway.
Yep. No, that's great. Good for you. So debbiesdesigns.com is the deal. And go check. Just get on the list. You know, get on the mailing list. And then you'll be informed as we go along here. And 2 o'clock Eastern time. On the Fiber Talk channel, wetalkfiber.com/YouTube, will be our live show. So Kim and I stitching, Debbie instructing. And so join us. And Marga will be there to watch the comments so that Kim and I can stitch and not miss a question. So if you have a question, bring your questions. That's the purpose of doing a live show like this. You can get your questions answered right on the spot. From Debbie, and we want everybody to get off on the right foot with this thing. So that's why we're doing this live show, and Debbie was kind enough to do some instruction for us. So even if you think you know what you're doing and you're confident, show up. You might pick up a tip. You just never know.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I try to be informative.
Yep. Yep, so that's going to be fun. Okay, so let's see. Oh, one thing, I was not sure last week about the Gay Ann Rogers hearts, her upcoming sale.
Oh, aren't those gorgeous? Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, they're beautiful. Oh, my goodness. They are so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, that Gay Ann, she's an amazing individual.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It is July 22. So the sale is July 22 at 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. So that's 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, 10 o'clock a.m. Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, and then overseas people, you sort it out yourselves. So 8 a.m. Pacific. So don't get caught thinking it's 8 o'clock your time zone. It's 8 o'clock Pacific time. So that's 11 Eastern, and then you work it out from there is her sale. And sign up for the newsletter. Just go there, you know, go to Debbie's, then go to Gay Ann's, and get on the newsletter so you're informed. But if you want a shot at those hearts, and you do,
and you
I'm
better
telling
be hatching your computer at 8 o'clock your
yes.
time.
Yes.
Or you better be sitting on top of it, because when she sells out, she's out.
Yep. Gone. Yep. And you do want you want this. You want these hearts. You just want.
Oh,
them.
They're beautiful. They're so pretty.
All four of them. You just want them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So that, and I don't know what else. I think she'll. She typically has more than just one thing on sale. But anyway.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. So I don't know what else she'll have on sale, but July 22nd is the day at 8 a.m. Pacific time, and you know, like Debbie said, yeah, it's kind of like getting tickets to the Beatles reunion. Just be there and be ready.
Yes, be ready. You know, look, go and look and decide, you know, what it is, what you want, all four of them. I'm just telling you right now. And get your credit card and have it ready to go.
Yep. Prepare yourself.
Yes.
Yep. So that's the 22nd. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. And Anna Scott Sunday, Krista West tonight, and Deb DeCrane on Japanese Embroidery Friday, and then Debbie, Kim, and I on Sunday to start Royal Garden. Whew. Other than that, we're going to take a nap.
Yes, yeah, so busy.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Debbie. Looking forward to it Sunday.
Me too. It'll be fun.